So we've been reading out of Matthew, teaching out of Matthew 21, the parable of the wicked tenants. I'm not going to reread that again, but we've done Matthew 21, some of Joshua 1. I'm going to speak out of kind of a group of Genesis 1, 2, and 3. But I had a slide, if I can get the remote, and I'm going to talk for about 10 or 12 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. I'm going to pray for 10 minutes at the end. So if you want prayer in the back, if you could kind of come up and sit up here, so you can sit by Cresha and you can sit up here where I'm going to pray for people after we speak and anoint people with oil. So if you want to get anointed with oil, you don't have to do it now, but I want you to be able to come up front and be prayed. If you're sitting here this morning, I'm going to anoint you with oil whether you like it or not, right? Okay, so just so you know that, so you're out of luck, new guy. So, So I really, you know, we're gonna pray it then. We're gonna pray something specific about our land. We've been talking about land, and I wanted to make a couple. There's a scripture we're gonna use. There's a couple other scriptures, and last week we talked about this, about that we go, if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul. So we're not focused on getting our family right, our church right, looking good at church, our work, family, our neighbors, or the rest of the world. We are looking at giving God our soul, our very part of who we are, our spirit, our heart, our very being. And I like how Mike said today that God likes us. He likes the very core of who we are. Does he like everything that we do? Does he like everything that we produce? Does he like everything that we've done? Not likely, but he loves us and likes us, and he's so fond of us. That set of us, that our spirit that's been transformed, that soul, that mind, that emotions, that personality, our gift and talents right there that are being transformed, that we're learning to give to God and live out loud and live life abundantly and more abundantly. He loves that part of us. And Matthew 16, 26, most of us go looking for getting our wife straight or our husband straight, finding the right church, the right set of beliefs, the right neighborhood, the right work, doing something for the world. And God is intimately, inherently concerned about your soul, about who you are as a being. He loves that part of you so much. And everything that we read in Scripture as that love story is towards that part of us. And it flows outside of us. And then there's another one in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. Most of us like to seek family, relationships, get married, get kids, have a ministry, job, money, food, clothing, shelter. I should have put these closer in here. Peace, love, joy, happiness. Seek ye first the kingdom that's within. Seek him within you, and all these things will be added unto you. We've got to have a number one, and a number one that we have is Jesus, and it far, there's no number two when there's Jesus. There's no second when there's Jesus. He's that much number one. And it's got to be Jesus in our soul, not Jesus in our politics, not Jesus in our morals, not our doc, not any of that. It's always Jesus in me. And we struggle with that. Each one in here struggles with making Jesus number one. No matter how good you look this morning, turn to your neighbor and say, you look pretty good this morning. If it's your wife or your husband, you can say, you look super hot this morning. Go ahead and do that. Oh, that's harder, isn't it? But think about that. That soul part of us, we struggle with putting Jesus at the core, Jesus at the center. And the last 3 weeks, this is the fourth week, about land, is about how do you produce fruit on the land he's given you? How do you produce fruit in the marriage that you've asked him for, that you have in the job, in the career, with your very being? How do you produce fruit? But there's all this stuff that sticks us and that we can't produce fruit. There's all this stuff that distracts us. We'll talk some more about that in the weeks to come. And this is going to be the series that doesn't end for a long time. It's not a 3, 4, 5. It's about the land that God's given us. But I want us to just really look in here that God is looking to speak to you in your spirit. He's not looking to speak to you about your job alone, about your marriage alone. He's looking to speak to you this morning, yesterday, tonight, tomorrow morning, through Scripture, about you and him and being together and putting him number one. Not just because it's good for him, it's good for you, it's right for you. You were created to put Jesus at number one. You were created to give your very soul, your very spirit, everything about you to him. And so in Genesis 1, Let me see if I got another. That's it. That's next week's, because I felt like God speak to me today, since the Texans and the Cowboys are playing today, that I have to get out by 11:30. So I'm going to. There you go. You thought I was going to not say anything about that, did you? There were bets going around that I didn't even know there's a monumental game today. I accidentally heard it yesterday on Facebook, Thursday on Facebook. So in Genesis, I'm going to read a couple, just two scriptures out of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of the Bible. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." The Spirit of God hovers, and does something. Something changes when we allow the Spirit of God to hover over us. Regardless of how dark or empty or how much in chaos your land is, just like the world when it was created, when God hovers it, form comes to it. Life comes to it. Things separate into right places. It's not just muck. It's not just formless. It's not just chaos that mountains are created. Land and water are separated. Night and day are separated. Dark and light are separated. Regardless of how empty or formless your marriage is right now, allow God to hover over it. Man, and it's going to change. Regardless of how empty it feels like with your kids, let God hover over that. Don't keep praying your kids to get it right. Let God speak to you. Let God hover over you. Let his presence be abounding in and around you, in the very deep parts of you. I don't mean click on the radio so you're listening to Christian music all the time. I don't mean listening to KSBJ or 103.7 or your favorite preacher or reading the Bible all the time. I mean getting personal and allowing the Holy Spirit to hover over you and to speak life into you and to bring life from chaos. Here it says, "Without form and void, is formless and empty. It was in confusion, it was in chaos, it was in empty." And it's a chaos we can't imagine. Think about when we think of chaos now, about maybe the Ebola virus or a nuclear reactor, something going wrong in Japan with that. And we think about the potential. We think about earthquakes. Think about the entire world, all of our earth in that chaos physically and with nothing identifiable, nothing, no potential there. And God hovers over it with his Holy Spirit and brings life and changes to it. He's hovering over the waters. And in this image, we have that word hover means to brood over like a bird or a chicken, to be over and to protect and nest and to wait and to bring heat to and life to. And then as it begins to be hatched and it begins to be created and developed, and as it comes to life, it's still there to protect us. So we have this image of making something from nothing. We have a different word, but the same imagery. When it says the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and there was a virgin birth, that something from the intangible, the mystical, the supernatural, the Spirit of God hovers over Mary and Mary's body and her reproductive system, and there's a seed planted in there that turns into something tangible. When you allow the Holy Spirit to be there, to hover, to cover you, the very mystical things become tangible, things that you can see. It becomes kids. It becomes marriages. It becomes marriages that you really like to be a part of. It becomes parenting that you really love and embrace. It becomes even challenges that you know that you trust the Lord in those things. So when the Holy Spirit overshadows us, it says in Luke, it says hover in Genesis, to cast a shadow upon, to overshadow, to bring in a haze or to envelop us in something. When that begins to happen, things change. But it doesn't happen often unless we invite it in. When we sing to the Holy Spirit and we invite you in, almost everybody in our head is, we invite you into this out here. Oh God, help the United States of America out there. Oh God, help this out there. Help there be help stop stop human trafficking. Stop drug use. Stop this. But there's a something that hovers over right here. And then as we allow him to hover over us, our marriages begin to change. Sex trafficking begins to stop. Things begin to change when we allow the Holy Spirit to change us. We're often so busy asking God to change everything around us that we remain absolutely the same. And the conundrum is we never remain absolutely the same. We always begin to change. We always go towards decay. It's true of Jim's beard turning gray. Is that not true? Well, mine's a little grayer. We always turn to decay. And so we always have to ask the Holy Spirit to be there, to be here. Not for my boss, not for my mom, not for my dad, not for my husband, not for my wife, not even for my kids that are away from the Lord and whatever that looks like. But it's to have him for us. So then I begin to make a difference. I begin to make a difference as I allow the Holy Spirit to rule over me, to hover over me. Will you let the Holy Spirit hover over you this week? Yes, thank you. You don't have to. You have to make space for it. You have to create space. In our busy world, there's lots of excuses, but no good reason for us not to make space in the morning, in the evening. And it looks like dominating your land, which we've talked a little bit about. It looks like putting on the calendar, I will allow the Holy Spirit to hover over me for these 30 minutes tomorrow morning. Which means I have to get up earlier the night before, which we've talked some about the calendar and the time. We'll talk even more about that, those very practical things. But you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to rule and dominate and hover over your life and your very soul. Because if you don't, this is what happens. You begin to seek and you begin to gain parts of the world that we just saw that don't matter, that don't bring peace, joy, happiness. You begin to look for happiness. You begin to look for joy. You begin to look for a marriage that feels right, that looks right. But you know at the core, it's not giving you what you really need. If you will seek him and if you will allow him to brood over you, to hover over you, everything begins to change around you. I'm telling you, it's the key. It's the singular key. And then there's action and obedience out of that, but it's stopping and allowing him and asking him and giving him permission and seeking ways that you can open yourself up to the Holy Spirit to hover over you.